When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record at the end of my workday in my car, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And what could those thoughts be today? Well, today I'm going to talk about, well, I'm tempted to use a term from Campbell again, but you know what? I think it's time I lay off a little bit of the Joseph Campbell stuff, because I tend to go on and on about him. I do think that his thoughts are pretty cool, but rather than just cite him directly, I'm going to touch on some topics that he has addressed before, but I think that many other authors and creators have addressed in the past. And we're going to talk about the notion of naming the faults of your characters in a story, but naming them truthfully and with love. I think that this is one of the higher ideals of being an author, a storyteller, because if you're creating a world full of populated with all these great characters, in my mind, a story is much more compelling if all of the characters are interesting. And I think one of the ways you can run risk of making your characters less than interesting is if you promote them as a character to be just openly despised. Now, I'm not talking about a villain necessarily, because a good villain, they can be somebody that you sympathize with, but they can also be somebody that you just outright despise. Like a Hitler, for instance. I mean, he's a great villain because he is so reprehensible. We're not supposed to sympathize with a villain of that type. But what I am talking about is, villains aside, and I think I might have talked about this a little bit in some past Thunder Punch dailies. I think when I was talking about darkness, when I was talking about openly attacking an idea in your story and becoming propagandistic? Maybe that's a word, I'm not sure. But using your story as propaganda to attack an idea or a way of thinking or a subject. That's a dangerous place to go. I don't think it's necessarily a bad place to go, but I think it's a dangerous place to go because I think you run the risk of making your story a little less interesting because you're putting the author's opinion before the story itself. And while I think an author's opinion can inform and color a story, I think that if it becomes purely just an essay from you explaining through your story that this is the way you should think about it and that's all, I personally think that's a much more difficult proposition to make something like that interesting. I think of Steinbeck's book, The Moon is Down. I read that a couple years ago and I really enjoyed it. But I really enjoyed it because I agreed with a lot of the ideas in it. It was very much of an American propaganda story. He himself admitted that's what it was. But would I call it great literature? Were there characters that I just absolutely fell in love with and think about all the time? No, I couldn't name any of the characters in that story. I can tell you the essential plot. I can tell you what the story was about. But none of the characters jumped out at me and made me think about them years later. Like when I think of, say, like Ransom from C.S. Lewis's The Space Trilogy. This character, or McPhee from The Space Trilogy in the last book, That Hideous Strength, he really stood out to me because he felt like a very interesting and rounded character. And the interesting thing about that character in particular was he was extremely flawed, but those flaws were named truthfully. Now, what does that mean? It's a difficult idea to really go into. I mean, I'll admit that I am not necessarily a great orator when it comes to writing theory. By the way, quick plug, BrandonDayton.com, he writes some great articles on writing theory. He's doing a lot of research and a lot of heavy lifting for his articles, his essays that he's writing, and I'm really enjoying them, so you should check those out. Wrote a great one recently on Epic Heroes. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, naming faults truthfully and with compassion. I'll take I'll use an analogy to sort of try to explain my point of view on this. Let's talk about snobbery. And while I have been accused by some of being a snob about certain things in comics, and I'll admit that I have the tendency to be snobby about some ideas. I got some very specific ideas of what I think comics are and should be, not in terms of content, but in terms of form. I think that you become a true snob when you start saying that if you don't subscribe to these philosophies, then you are no good to me. You have no business making comics. You have no business participating in this thing. And we've all known somebody with that attitude, right? You haven't heard of such and such? Shame on you. You are punishing people for their ignorance about something. And a true enthusiast is going to say to you, oh, you don't know about this thing? Well, let me tell you about it. It's really cool. I think you'll love it. And their enthusiasm and their energy for that thing is going to, if it doesn't make you hooked on it, it's at least going to get you to consider looking into it. Okay? And I think that regardless of the kind of characters you're writing, I think you have to have this kind of love for them because of their faults. I think of the character of Gibson in The Front, who was written to be the odd man out character of the trio of boys that I was telling a story about. And he's not somebody that we're supposed to necessarily identify with or sympathize with as such. He's there really to annoy my lead, Thirsty, and give me a bit of a foil to bounce off of. Gibson is he's self-absorbed the way Thirsty is, but to the point of comedy, so that it annoys Thirsty. That's another little tip. I hate the word tip. What am I trying to say? A little thing to think about is that often what annoys us about other people is something that we secretly dislike about ourselves. So that was a key into the dynamic between Thirsty and Gibson, is that Thirsty was always going to dislike Gibson for acting childish and self-absorbed when that was Thirsty's key problem that he had to overcome in the story. So, but I never tried to write Gibson to be somebody that we're supposed to jeer at as an audience. Oh, here's my stupid guy. We all know guys like him. They're idiots. Let's all boo and hiss at them. No, I think that when you're building characters for your stories, and I do think that meeting a lot of interesting people and really crunching on those life experiences that you have by meeting those people, crunching on life experiences meaning when you've had an interaction with them, when you've had some kind of friendship or association with them that comes and goes, ask yourself, what did that experience mean to me in some way or another? That helps you come up with really good characters and writing choices later on down the road. But when you collect these characters throughout your life, I never go back, or at least I hesitate to go back and look at them and pick on them, make fun of them, to jeer at them, or to dishonor them in some way through my work. I look at them as they're just a human being, after all, like me, like Thirsty, like any of my characters. And therefore, I should be at least a little, if not forgiving of, well, let's just say forgiving. I like that word. Forgiving of it to a certain degree. And if we do laugh at it, we laugh at it because, oh, isn't that silly? We're all human beings like him. We all have faults. We all have problems like that. This is different in my mind than just giving your characters flaws because, oh, after all, just giving them a flaw will make them more relatable to another reader, right? I don't think it's quite that mathematical. I think this is one of those things that comes through touch and taste and through really responding and dwelling on the experiences that you have and interacting with other people and giving yourself some distance from that to name those faults with compassion and with love and be honest about it. Yes, Gibson is a bit of a dummy. Gibson is a bit of a dullard, and he's very self-absorbed. And when the big revelation scene happens in chapter 3 of the graphic novel and Rex is spelling out how dangerous their lives really are about to become, Gibson is too busy playing video games to really dwell on it. And even when Opal says to him, hey, maybe you should be, you know, paying attention to what's being said here, Gibson doesn't even have a very good response to that. It's just he says some stupid thing that he read in a National Geographic once about the human mind. So, but again, it was never intended to, and I don't think it comes across that way in the book, that we are supposed to hiss at him like in some kind of vaudeville play. That here's the villain, let's all throw tomatoes at him and despise him. It's meant to be a funny kind of reflective way of saying that, yeah, humans are all pretty screwed up sometimes. We all act like fools sometimes, and Gibson's no exception, Thirsty's no exception. I mean, I do try to make a rule for myself that with my heroes, I try to, every time I, especially in the case of Thirsty, every time he did something cool, I immediately had to follow it up with him doing something that humiliates him, or he is humiliated by somebody else. I think it gets boring to watch somebody walk around and moan constantly, just as it's boring to watch somebody walk around and win all the time. You got to have ups and downs in order to really get along with the character. But just to keep punching at this analogy, just for a few more seconds, it's like snobbery about anything. It's like if you're a music snob, and this is the only kind of music that you should listen to, and you ask the person why, like, because it's good, and everything that came before or after is kind of crappy. Well, that's an opinion, and that's taste. And I think that it tends to be a rather limited point of view, depending on the explanation behind their opinion. It tends to be a limited point of view on music in general. I know some music enthusiasts who love any kind of music, provided it's good, provided that they can tell if there was some craft and expertise and real emotion put into the work, some real passion put into the work, whether it is, 1930s folk music, or it's, progressive rock of the 70s, or if it's electronic music of today, they don't care as long as it's good. The only time I ever hear this person in particular I'm thinking of, talk poorly about a certain kind of music is when they hear it done kind of poorly or half-heartedly, half-baked kind of stuff. So I think that's analogous to looking at people and looking at characters, is that provided the character is well-rounded and they're doing their best and they mean their best, then they're not meant to be jeered at. You don't jeer at somebody because, oh, they represent values that I don't necessarily represent. You look at them as being a well-rounded person who's doing their level best, even if they are mistaken according to your worldview. And I think if you approach your characters that way, I think that to a certain degree, I personally try to approach life that way, but I think especially in fiction, it's a good idea to approach characters that way, because you're going to wind up writing characters that feel true, and true characters are going to be much more interesting to read about than a cardboard cutout of somebody that is just put in your story for people to sneer at and shout at. Okay, I guess that's as close as I'm going to get today to talking about compassion towards your characters. I hope this one kind of glues itself together somehow in your mind. But guess what? We can always take this conversation off the air and into the forums at artandstorypodcast.com. Hey, there's an ad for the forum. But as a subscriber to the Art and Story Supreme content, by the way, thank you very much for that. We couldn't do it without you. You do get access to the forums. And your login that you were given when you signed up is the same login you get to use in the forum to participate. And I'd love to hear from you. We've had some really terrific conversation going on in there so far. And even the last Thunder Punch Daily I did got some great reactions from some of the listeners who were disagreeing with me on some points. And it's fun to have those conversations, especially with really plugged in, intelligent people who can back up their claims and don't just say, what you said was dumb, the end, bye. Nobody in the forum is doing that. Why? Because the art and storyers are... It sounds kind of propaganda-ish, doesn't it? But I really think you guys are some of the best people around. So, okay. That's enough for today. Don't forget to check out the other shows. Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, the extra extremes we do, and the extra art and story episode we do called Art and Story Supreme. The music for this episode, or for this show, was created by my brother Elliot Drozd. Doesn't have a website yet, but I'm working on it. Tara Platt did the voiceover, taraplatt.com, TARAPLATT.com. I'm very grateful to her for the great voiceover. A professional voiceover actress got to do did the VO for me, and that's pretty sweet. So thank you very much for listening. I'll be back again soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember...
Everybody likes to play games, but when they do, it's natural to try and win. But some people try so hard to win that they forget about safety. They get excited, lose their tempers, and then run the risk of hurting themselves or someone else by playing too rough. No game is worth an injury. When you play, don't be so anxious to win that you'll do something which you'll regret later on. Play it safe.